Praise the Lord. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr, and this is Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'd like to welcome you back to this week. We'd like to wish you a Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. You've been seeing this show. We're recording the week prior to Christmas, so we just wanted to get those salutations out and greetings. This week, I brought a guest back, Mr. Hezekiah Montgomery, and we're going to talk a little bit about his book, Rediscovering Kai. And he has some new information. He has it. It's online now. You can get the ebook. We went from the paperback edition to now we can get electronic Kindle, if that's correct. And we're going to share that information. But we're going to dive right into it and talk a little bit about the book, about it's a semi-autobiography.
Correct.
Amen. Amen. So we're going to talk a little bit about the book. We're going to discuss a couple of the chapters here. I've read the book a couple of times and you know, it has about 22 chapters, but they're not like real long chapters. They're about a page apiece, page and a half apiece. So I've read through the book a couple of times, and every time I read it, I see some new insights and some of the things he was trying to share through this process, this journey that's documented here. Amen? So we're going to open with prayer and get right into the conversation. Father, we thank you today, Lord God. We thank you for this opportunity, O God. We thank you, Lord God, for all that you've done in our lives, God. We thank you for salvation. We thank you, God, for what Jesus Christ has done, his death, burial, and resurrection, Lord God. But God, during this season, God, we celebrate the birth of that child, Lord God, that innocent child, O God. And God, we know, O God, that your son was as innocent as he was as a child, as when they hung him on the cross, O God, because he was the perfect, innocent sacrifice for our sins, O God. So, Father, we say again, thank you. Father, continue to guide us and direct us by your Holy Spirit. Strengthen us and keep us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Brother Hezekiah, how are you, sir?
I'm blessed, sir. I am truly blessed.
Amen. Amen. It's good to see you again. This is an ongoing, continuing series. Like I said, you got 21 chapters here, so we hit a couple chapters at a time. And you keep coming back.
It's actually 40-something chapters.
40-something? Wait a minute. I was on the table of contents, brother. What are we doing? Oh, I didn't turn the page.
44 chapters and an epilogue.
44 chapters and an epilogue. Oh, maybe I didn't read all the book. No, just kidding. Amen, amen. But like I said in the intro, the chapters are not long chapters. They're page and a half. And it seems like, it was written for certain segments of the journey.
Correct.
And you documented it and seemed like you journaled. So, but we're going to talk a little bit about a couple of them today. Because it's in the middle of the book, and it was some of the things that you was going through, I guess, in the midst. Because, we separate our lives, and it seemed like this was the most trying time. This was the time, BDF, this Baltimore Detention Facility?
Yeah, Baltimore Detention Facility.
Amen,
correct.
Amen. So that seems like a season. I'm going to call it a season.
Okay.
Amen? That seems like a season where a lot of things, you had a lot of things that you seen God was doing.
Exactly.
And God gave you opportunities to minister. And that's
correct.
The thing I really wanted to touch upon. Because I was reading that and I'm saying, well, in the midst of what we go through, God can still use us.
Exactly.
And I think a lot of us have to understand that God doesn't want perfection, but he does want faithfulness and obedience.
Correct.
Amen? So first, let's share with the audience. I see you have a new contact information, new way people can get the book.
Oh,
we have the hard copies here, but share with the audience about how they can get it on. It's online now.
It's on the new
Kindle.
The new ebook is online, and this is this right here. It's a new cover concept, and we've changed it. I worked with Purposely Creative Publishing, mm-hmm. and they worked with me in creating a whole new look and a whole new marketing.
Okay.
To get the book out there and to get people to actually say, "Oh, okay." The new cover is Rediscovering Kai, and we changed it to a journey of hope, fortitude, and second chances. It's available now on Kindle in ebook for $2.99. And as a Christmas gift, I was going to say this later, but I'll say it all. As a Christmas gift from me to you, I will have the ebook available to people or those who want to download it free on Christmas Eve from 6 a.m. in the morning to 10 a.m. at night. So if you get on there at, after 10 a.m. at night, you will have to purchase it. So
10 p.m.
10 p.m., that's right. Amen. I'm sorry, 10 p.m. So at 10 p.m., after 10 p.m., you will have to purchase it. Amen. And that's going to be on Christmas Eve. Our email information, you can contact me at hlmontgomery@hezekiahlmontgomery.com. Again, that's hlmontgomery@hezekiahlmontgomery.com. And our phone number for contact as well is 888-501-8650, extension 780. Again, that's 888-501-8650, extension 780. And again, our website is www.hezekiahlmontgomery.com.
Amen, amen. And all that information will be rolling on the credits at the end of the broadcast, and you can catch up if you have a pen and paper with you now. But that information also, we'll share it again later, and also it'll be on the, it'll roll with the credits at the end of the show.
Correct.
Amen?
Amen.
So we're going to start, brother, let me see, where do I want to start? Let's start with chapter 12. It said, the title of the chapter is Just Like Judas. And when I read it, I've seen something in there that I think a lot of us go through, especially as men, and even as those in the body of Christ, that when we make mistakes, how hard it can be for us to repent. For those who are not biblically knowledge, understand who Judas was and what he had done. He was the one who betrayed Jesus.
Yes, he did.
And because of that betrayal, he moved to, the scripture says he ended up hanging himself.
Correct.
But I've heard it taught and preached a lot. You know, did Judas have to die? And some of us have to understand that too in our lives. The stuff we do with the shame, with the regret, with the fear, will all those things, will the enemy use all those things to try and kill us physically?
Right.
Also spiritually, also emotionally, and also mentally. But share a little bit about what you went through here when we were in that chapter 12.
Chapter 12 just came out of nowhere. God was talking to me. And I basically put my life in the same aspect of Judas. Judas started out with Jesus, and he was with Jesus for approximately 3 years through Jesus' ministry. Jesus did not have a long ministry. He started when he was 30, and he, died for our sins at 33. But it started off, as I was going through, I'm like, I had thoughts of suicide, but me being a chicken, I don't like pain. So I couldn't even figure out what to do.
Suicide hurts sometimes.
Yeah. But so me being a chicken, I'm like, no. But I just started thinking about the pain I was going through at the time, the emotions I was going through. And I'm like, yeah, now I know what Judas felt like, because he betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Mm-hmm. And he wanted to go back. After he thought about, because sometimes we have those second thoughts. Well, maybe that wasn't the best thing I should have done. Mm-hmm. So he wanted to go back and change his mind, but they would not let him change his mind. They said, no, that's blood money now. Mm-hmm. So basically, my thought was that as if he would have went back and repented, just like we today can go back to Christ and say, I'm sorry. If he would have went back to Christ and repented, then maybe he wouldn't have, wanted to commit suicide. He would know that, because if you've been with someone for 3 years, you know how they are.
Right.
He healed blind people. He fed the 5,000. Mm-hmm. So he was there throughout the whole ministry. Right. But Satan got hold of him in a way that he says, well, there's nothing I can do now. Mm-hmm. I betrayed Christ. Mm-hmm. There's nothing I can do right now. I betrayed Christ, and his thought was to commit suicide or to kill himself, because he didn't think, or Satan, I would say Satan didn't let him think that if he wouldn't have went to Christ and said, Master, I'm sorry.
Amen.
And Christ would have forgive him, just like he forgives us.
Yes.
But that's just my thought. And like you said, some preachers would say, could he have, because if Christ fed the 5,000, if he healed the blind, if he did all these miracles and he always showed love, but if we just had that one thought that Satan puts in our mind, because the battle is in our mind, if we had that one thought, we could have been a statistic just like Judas.
Amen.
And that's why I titled it Just Like Judas, because we put ourselves in those situations sometimes, when we fall, when we make those mistakes, when we sell our Christ for 30 pieces of silver.
Right.
We make the same mistake, regardless of what it looks like, it's the same ending. So, you know, when I tell people about that chapter, we have to realize that he had a chance, in my mind, to go back and repent. But because we get mixed up in our stuff, and the devil comes up in our mind and wants us to say, hey, you might as well just end it now. You know, even like when Job's wife said, just curse God and die. Mm-hmm. And Job was like, woman, are you crazy?
Mm-hmm.
But with that chapter, I was just saying, you know what? I had to really deep think about it, read about it, and say, I was just like Judas, because I was at my end's wit, going through, betrayed, one of my pet peeves, or one of the things that I was, you know, when you're abandoned, the people you think that should be there are not there.
Amen.
So basically, you know, when, you know, he abandoned Christ,
right?
But he didn't know how to get back to Christ.
Right.
He abandoned him, but he didn't know how to get back to him. And the only thing he thought about was committing suicide.
Amen. And I think, and like you said, to bring it to our relationship with God, we have to understand that Christ never left him. Christ
Correct.
Was willing, because Christ did it for Peter. He did it. As a matter of fact, he did it for all the disciples, because if, as Scripture tells us, all the disciples forsaked him and scattered.
Yes, they did.
When they arrested him. But they all, when the call, when they met in the upper room, they were heard to call.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of the repentance, that even though they scattered at the arrest,
mm-hmm.
after his death, they knew to come back together. And then they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And we
exactly.
have to understand that God is going to restore us.
Exactly.
He will, he has, and he's going to. That's one of the basic doctrines of Christianity, is that Christ died for all our sins, past, present, and future. And we have to get in our mind who God is and have a relationship that we understand that God mm-hmm. is with us. He's for us. He's not against us. He's not out to punish us.
Mm-hmm.
He's out to restore us. The enemy exactly. wants to destroy us.
Exactly.
And wants to kill us and keep us separated from God and make us think God is, you know, Christ didn't really die, or Christ is angry at us. And that's where we get a lot of folk get messed up in their heads about
exactly.
when they struggle with failure. And then that's, I think, what it, I think it really, we see it as, people can't heal broken relationships because,
correct.
You know, either it's pride, selfishness, or they don't think nobody's going to forgive them. But because they think, because what it is, I'm trying to get this, I'm formulating this, because they know if someone did to them what they did to others, that they couldn't forgive them.
Correct.
So they don't think nobody will forgive them for what they've done.
And that's the trick
and
that's, of the enemy.
That's another trick of the enemy, that Because sometimes you say, well, if they did it to me, I wouldn't forgive them. So I know they're not going to forgive me. So I'm not even going to try. Because if that happened, if they stole from me, I know I couldn't forgive them. But see, that's a hard issue.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's something we definitely have to, again, as we are men of faith, as we are women of faith,
mm-hmm.
we have to understand what God is saying, what has God done for us, and what he wants to do in us.
Correct.
Because we have that selfish heart, that envious heart, that brokenheartedness, but God can fix all that if we allow him.
Most definitely.
And that's what I see the book as a story of reconciliation. And as we process it, because again, it's not instantaneous.
Mm-hmm.
All miracles are not instantaneous.
Most definitely.
Some miracles are a process, but we have to be able to endure the process, because we're going to have those feelings, and even people are going to feel a certain way about us. But
mm-hmm.
they're looking for change, because our redemption can be a testimony
Correct.
To somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to remember that, because, again, our salvation, I hear this a lot, and I was a pastor preached this, that our salvation is not about us. Some people think it is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saved. I'm good. I'm Holy Ghost filled. I'm. If we remember, those I'ms got a lot of folk in trouble.
Correct.
But I'll let people study the Bible for themselves.
Amen. Exactly.
Well, let's continue. I'm going to talk about chapter 13, the Bible studies. Again, this was something you talked about here, how God used you, even after the circumstance, after the fall, after the failure, but God still used you to sow in the other folk. Explain a little bit about that.
Well, that's one of my funny chapters, because when people read it, they say they can see me actually talking and saying it. Because when you're in trouble, when you're incarcerated for X amount of days, the one thing you go on there, look, I'm trying to get out. The word is mm-hmm. out. Exit, execute,
out, bail,
stage left, whatever I need Amen. To do is get out. But the funny thing is, as I was there, started talking to other young inmates that were in there, and they were, for some odd reason, they kept looking at me. And I'm like, what is going on here? Mm-hmm. So I found a Bible. I would, you know, asked for a Bible. I found a Bible and was, you know, Lord gave me one. I started reading again. And I was trying to get the Bible study. That's what happened. I was trying to get the Bible. Well, if I'm going to be in here, I want to continue. I've been Amen. In church. I want to continue being fed by the Word. Mm-hmm. So I'm putting the cards in, trying to get the Bible study. Nothing.
Yeah.
I'm like, what's going on here? Put another card in.
Amen.
Trying to get to church. Nothing. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, God, what are you trying to tell me? So I got the Bible. And I just talked to, you know, people kept coming to me and said, out of nowhere, are you see a person with a Bible in here, are you having Bible study? I'm looking around and like, new people that right. just came in. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, why are you asking, just what I'm saying, why are you asking me this in my mind? So basically say you got a choice. If they're asking you, that's an invitation that God has given you. So I had a choice. Either I'm going to say no to God, which I did before, God, end up where I'm at, or I'm either going to say yes. So I said, okay, a couple of people is not going to hurt. So I basically said, okay, now I got to really read this word, because if I'm going to, you know, help other people while I'm here, you know, because I want out, but God said, no, not yet.
Not yet.
You know, I'm at a struggle in my life right now because I'm in a new area, you know, somewhere, something that's different mm-hmm. than what I'm used to. So I'm like, okay. So I started reading the word, started having a couple people, you know, come into my cell, started having Bible study. So as time went on, I'm still thinking, okay, God, I'm still trying to get out of here. And then his spirit is saying, nope, not yet. So more people kept coming in saying, hey, I heard you having Bible study. I mean, who is passing this information around? But I basically said, you know what? If I got to do it, Lord, I'm going to do it.
Amen.
So I started studying more because, you know, if you want to feed the sheep, you have to
yes, sir.
Study to make sure you're feeding it correct, doing it correctly.
Yes.
So basically, that's where that chapter came out. Me trying to get out, but the Lord saying, nope, it's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. You need to sit here, read, and teach. Wasn't my idea, because my thing is, when you're in trouble, the least thing you're thinking about is preaching or teaching. Mm. That's the most thing you're not thinking
wow.
about.
Really?
But the Lord used that as he was trying to tell me, I have something for you to do. Mm-hmm. You don't want to do it. I already know that.
Mm-hmm.
But you got a choice. Either you're going to stay here a little longer than what you want, or you're going to do what I tell you to do. And
Amen.
I said, okay. It's not my will, Lord, but yours. So I started feeding his sheep
Amen.
Inside it. And wherever I was feeding his sheep. It started off with a few people, then it just kept growing and growing till even, and I mentioned this later, till even when one of the guys that was in there who's, you know, he was a lawyer, inside lawyer, as they say.
Right, jailhouse lawyer.
Jailhouse lawyer, correct. Yeah. But he actually came to me when he was about to go to court and asked me to pray. And I'm like, okay, this is odd. You know, he's bigger than I am. But
Amen.
He asked me to come to his cell and pray with him before he went.
Amen.
And that was all God. That was not me. Because I look at, and you know what they say, would you do it again? Probably. Because if God puts you in a situation, he's always going to prepare you.
Amen.
Because he prepared me to have a Bible. So if you're going to have it, use it.
Amen. And I want to use that as encouragement. Because it's funny. I hear testimonies of mothers, grandmothers praying for that wayward one who mm-hmm. got locked up. You know, they praying, you know, he got locked up. And God gave me a vision of him getting out.
Mm-hmm.
But God can use someone in the jail.
Yes, he can.
To help that grandson or son or even that child that you're praying about.
Right.
They need to be there.
Correct.
And if you're there, God put you there to rendezvous with their lives, that all the stuff that grandma and mama and dad had been telling them, but now we have a captive audience and God is going to sow something into them. And that's why, you know, we as Christians, God is in control. If God is truly in control, some folk need to be locked up for a while.
Correct. And, you know,
because they're not listening to nothing else. And for us to be Christians, our prayer should be, like you say, God's will be done.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's men of God like you locked up.
No, right. Just... but I meant to tell you that some souls were saved there, too, because
yes.
some of them accepted Christ.
Right.
So the seed was planted.
Yes.
You know, even in the midst of my mess, there were seeds planted, even when, you know, some of the people were looking at me, but they seen the light, and that's another thing. Sometimes, even though you don't want your light to shine in the midst of your mess,
yes, sir,
that light is shining brighter than you expected it to shine,
right?
Because God still wants to use you.
And
heck, if David messed up, he still used David.
He used a whole bunch of folk in the Bible who the church today would have rejected. If they were truthful,
exactly.
The way they think, their mindset is, you look through scripture, there's a whole bunch of folk who would not be accepted in the church.
Exactly.
Forget leadership. They couldn't be members.
Right.
Amen.
You're right.
But it's that's why it's a God thing. It's our relationship with God. It's where we go in our darkest and deepest time.
Mm-hmm.
Who do we go to? And people will see that.
Exactly.
Because just because, you know, you locked up, you whatever, that don't mean God left you. That means God's trying to see what he's going to get out of you. Again, our salvation is not about us.
Right.
Our salvation is not a new car, new house, prosperity. I got a check in the mail, miracle money. I'm sorry. I get distracted sometimes. But that's not what God has wanted for us. Because
nope.
It's the lives and the soul of people, of mankind. And for us as Christians, we have to be focused on
mm-hmm.
no matter what we're going through. Because I understand going through stuff, you know, detention, waiting for the commissioner, waiting forever, waiting to hear from the bail, the court date, all that stuff is rolling around. But then God says, look around you, feed my sheep.
And to jump off of that, that's what he said. He's gave me a whole new outlook on men and a love of men.
Mm-hmm.
Because before I, you know, got caught up and got in there, and I mentioned this on my show last night, I had a lot of pride
mm-hmm.
and arrogance. So he
you mean Christian pride and arrogance?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, man.
I know. You know, I was one of them, you know.
Oh, my goodness. I like you, brother. No, go ahead.
I had my Paul experience. We had to knock me off my horse. And like, okay, all right, I'm going to blind you for a little bit, get you together,
mm-hmm.
and then clean you out.
Amen.
So I can use you.
Amen. 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 But, I recommend the book because it's a read where, you know, you can see what God could use, and then you can relate this back to, because there's stuff going on in all our lives. We ain't got to be locked up in a detention center, you know, so whatever God's will is for our life. But we need to see
mm-hmm.
that in the midst of our stuff, God's going to use us.
Exactly.
We talk about marriages, marriage relationships.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your marriage may be going through some stuff, but when God brings you out of that, you'll be able to minister to someone else's marriage.
You become a
testimony.
To
that couple
yep.
that the enemy's trying to destroy, to that couple who's going through. But if you have a marriage that has stood the test of time, you can speak into it. For brothers, financial situations,
mm-hmm.
bankruptcy, you got repo, you lost your house. But in that, you could, because first of all, God have kept you and restored you because
sure.
you're not living on the street.
Mm-hmm.
But you can share with some others, either to prevent them from going through, being proactive, or even in the midst, letting people know it's going to be okay.
Because mm-hmm.
some people will jump off a bridge if they miss three car payments. They get their car repossessed, they're ready to jump off a bridge.
Yeah, you are. You're 100%
like,
correct.
Like, I can't go get a daily pass. You know what I'm saying? Why am I jumping off a bridge? I just go get a pass. I got more money to get a pass because I'm not making a $300 payment.
Correct.
So I can get on the bus now. I'm sorry. I got money for the bus. Why am I killing myself over the car? But again, that goes back to us being used by God. You say that in the book about letting God use you in mm-hmm. the midst of. Don't think you've been disqualified.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you may never be a bishop, brother. However, there's somebody's life you've ever spoken to just being who you are. And we as Christian men, especially Christian men, we have to understand that.
Mm-hmm.
Being a bishop may be nice. I don't know. I ain't one. I, you know, whatever. But I know there's people's lives I can speak into.
Most definitely.
I know there's enough God in me. I know what God has brought me through. I know what God gave me the vision and gave me, you know, the vision and discernment to see some things and understand some things and speak into the lives of people that, you know, I mean, you can name any of the bishops you want, but they may not hear from them, but they may receive from me. There's folk who's going to, that's what I want to say. There's folk who's only going to hear from us.
Correct.
And we have to be prepared and let God use us. Because, like I say, some people have a whole different understanding of Christianity. They watch TV, they see the news, whatever. But there's some folk who are just going to have to hear our story and our gospel, and they'll be able to hear, and their seed will grow.
Most definitely.
Amen. Well, let's talk about chapter 14, young Timothy. And this goes right to what we were talking about.
Yeah,
because I read this one, young Timothy. Go ahead.
Young Timothy, and I entitled that because it was a young man that started coming to the Bible studies. He was a young man, 6'2", thin, you know, and he was in there for something that I would say young men shouldn't do, but our young men are getting caught up in stuff that they shouldn't be doing. And they got to realize that the judicial system is putting you in there with the adult men as well.
Amen.
So, and that's the whole thing I didn't agree with, but I'm not in charge. I'm in trouble like everyone else.
Hey, there you go. I got no shade, but you know, you in here now.
Right. And so he basically started coming to the Bible studies, and we started talking. And basically I started almost like bringing him under me for some odd reason. He would come, you know, as young men would do, start asking questions. And I'll be honest, sometimes I'm like, okay, I'm trying to run this way. And he would still come because he seen that light shining. He would still come and ask questions. So we started praying together, started having more Bible studies together. I told him about fasting, because whatever we're going through, fasting and praying is important, you know. So I even, you know, showed him how to fast and talking about fasting. So he would start turning his tray down, same as I would do. We would fast together. We would pray. And we just had a bond that was going on. And then the inevitable happened, because even though you're detained in a detention center, everybody talks.
Right.
And so one day he actually came to me and he said, well, I'm hearing some news. So I'm like, even though people say I talk too much, you know, sometimes you just keep your mouth quiet when you're in trouble.
Yeah.
But he came to me and wanted, I don't want to hear what they said. I want to hear it from you.
Yes.
So I said, we basically had to talk. And he said, I'm glad you spoke to me, because I respect you more because you are honest. And so, and the bond grew. You know, from there, he, you know, he even, you know, told his mother about me and said that whatever his fate will be, he's ready to accept it.
Yeah.
You know, so that was a seed planted. And here's the funny thing. There were times that, you know, he was fasting and I wasn't. So he would come in and it just was none of my doing. Somebody said, well, that was, you know, I like to eat too, like everybody else. There was times that he would come and say, I'm fasting. Do you want my tray? And do you think I'm going to say no?
Hey, can't take the blessing as the blessing comes.
Exactly.
You know, receive it. Don't deny it. Just receive it. Go ahead.
But it was just good to see that him growing from just me being in there for a season. Because someone did ask me, well, did you ever talk to him again? I think it wasn't meant for that to be.
Right.
Because that was just my season of growth. And for me to, in a midst of a storm, to be used by God to pray, to fast, to witness, you know, and to be honest, the real truth was he was keeping me safe in that surrounding. You'd be said safe. Yeah, he was keeping me safe because at that time there was still a tornado going on outside.
Right.
But as long as I was there, I was safe. And young Timothy got a chance to meet me, got a chance to learn how to pray, got a chance to learn how to fast. When I'm talking about, I thought I was reading more words than I've ever. He started reading.
Amen.
The seed was planted, you know, young people, but he believed at that moment. And he even told his mom, look, whatever happens to me, if I even get more years than I expected, I'm ready.
Amen. And again, it's biblical. for my folk who's listening and watching, mentoring and discipling. Mm-hmm. That's what we're called to do. We're not called to, I get in trouble for this kind of stuff. We're not called to dress people up, get them a shirt, get them a tie, tell them, you know, dress them up on the outside, make them look all pretty. We're called to penetrate the heart, mm-hmm. and penetrate the heart with the Word of God. And, you know, we do a lot of things to get people to stop doing superficial stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Or, well, I like to call it, we want to minister to the fruit and not the root. And we want everybody's fruit to look alike. You know what I mean?
Right.
We want everybody in a suit and a tie and a jacket and shoes. We want everybody to pull their pants up.
Right.
But we don't want to talk to the heart. We don't want to talk to what's going on in their head, in their heart,
mm-hmm.
that's manifesting on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're telling me there ain't no room in heaven for the brother. Well, now it's the pants hanging down. It used to be baseball cap backwards. So the church, mm-hmm. we're easy to flex into something else that we don't like.
Right.
That don't look presentable. Because it used to be a backwards baseball hat back in the day. Now we got preachers wearing the hat backwards, so it's okay.
Yeah.
So I figure in 10 years, we'll have preachers with their pants hanging down. It'll be okay. I'm sorry.
Wow.
I'm sorry. That's what, you know, Lord, why I get in trouble.
Right.
But anyway, mm-hmm. we have to minister to the heart of the people, not mm-hmm. try to minister to their outward appearance. Mm-hmm. We have to go for the heart. I let God change you. I let God get you in a three-piece suit or suit, whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, shoes. And, you know, all the stuff's coming to my head because it was what? Back in the day, it was shooting. Your shoes was untied. At one point, the homies was wearing those shoes with no laces in them. And they were up in arms.
You're right.
Okay, I'm sorry. I digress. But are we speaking into life? Are we speaking something that they can be to carry past the cultural and fashion changes that's going to go on? It's going to go on society.
Mm-hmm.
And even for my my young sisters,
mm-hmm.
we got clothes they shouldn't be wearing. There's dresses up to the knee, dresses to the ankle, dresses high, too low, too much cleavage, too much, you know, all that stuff we worry about instead of ministering to where they are. Minister to their heart. God will dress them up and make them look good. God will buy them some new clothes, I pray. But if they don't have the mindset, I don't care what store you send them to. You can send them to Walmart, TD Mac, TJ, I'm giving free advertisement. But you can send them to Macy's, mm-hmm. but if they still have a mindset, they're going to buy some hoochie clothes out of Macy's. Mm-hmm. Just because it's $20 or $200, if it's a slutty blouse, it's a slutty blouse. I'm sorry.
Oh, wow.
Let's go back to the book.
But basically you're saying Amen. Is, regardless of what the outside looks like,
Amen.
What's in the heart?
Yes, it
and,
is.
And,
it's
the, and heart. The Bible says man looks on the outward appearance.
Yes.
But God looks in the heart. So we have to be at that point in our life.
Amen.
Like you said, stop looking at that. Because our mess could be all up inside here, Amen. Our issues. But we may look like fine wine.
That's right. I could buy some stuff. I could look nice. I could look pretty.
Right.
But my heart is just filthy and dirty. So I could be, you know, I could be dressed up nice, but mm-hmm. I'm still looking at women lustfully.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still got underneath there. I say, you know what? I'm going to get that sister. Excuse me. I got plans.
Right.
But right now I'm looking clean. I'm sitting in church.
Mm-hmm.
I'm good. But come Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I got some stuff. So I got things in my mind going
right.
on. So well, do we want to fix the brother's mind or do we want to fix the outward appearance to dress him up? So now I heard the previous discussions, we want to dress up the wolves in sheep's clothes.
Right.
So they could blend in. But they're still ravenous wolves and they're on the hunt.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sorry. It's so much, brother, that this book brings out. This is why I read the book, and it brings so much stuff to the surface.
I appreciate that.
Amen. Well, let's go to chapter 15. You have a brother.
I have a
He's
brother.
He's still here. And that talks about your relationship, the two brothers.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Excellent. I appreciate that. Basically, we were almost estranged for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were both born and raised in Philadelphia. He came to Baltimore when he was around 18, and I didn't even know what was going on. I would know one day I looked up and he was gone.
Mm.
And but around the same time, we didn't know, or, you know, I'm like, okay, I'm going through this struggle. I don't know what's going to happen to me. You know, somewhere down the line, I need to try to contact my brother,
mm-hmm.
you know, So we can actually communicate, contact, and get reconnected. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, our parents both died in 1996. So you don't, you know, if you're just the two of you, if it's just the two of you, you don't want anything to happen to neither that you don't know about.
Right.
So I was searching on the internet, nothing happened. I'm just doing all kind of searches and stuff. Nothing was happening. So one day, as I was writing the book, I was up in Panera Bread, not trying to get free advertisement, as you said.
We're just living life here, man. This is where we go. This is where we hang out. It's okay.
So I was up in Panera Bread writing, and I get an email stating that your brother's been trying to contact you. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh. So I got a chance to got the information, emailed his friend back, said, okay, I got the number. I'll give you guys a call back. So basically, God used everything I was going through, and then he was trying to contact me too, because sometimes you just lose communication.
Right, right.
And so basically, we got reconnected. You know, I was able to get a phone number, able to call him, because again, you don't want nothing to go on. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't know if I could have died in the situation I was in,
right,
and he would never know. Or vice versa, any situation that he was going through. But that was only in God's timing that he was able to bring us back. Because, you know, he told me he was searching for me. Mm-hmm. I'm searching for him. Our numbers, you know, as people move around and transition in life,
right,
things change. Communication changes where you don't have the same email. May not even have the same address.
Right.
May not have the same phone number.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, it was in that time, and I'm at work now too, trying to, you know you're not supposed to be in at work, but I'm at work trying to find him and then continue to do my work. But again, it was in God's time, mm-hmm, that he made everything cohesive and work together where we got back together and was back at communicating with each other.
Amen, amen. That's some of the things that we, again, that reconciling, because, you know, I was reading that and a lot of us have, for whatever reason, we separate from folk, and you know, it's family, friends, whatever, mm-hmm, and then God puts us back together for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a time, you know, of separation. Even for my saved folk, you know, when you first get saved,
mm-hmm,
if again, because you know, my testimony, I wasn't raised in the church, but you know, you for my brothers out there who, you know, once you're saved and you stop hanging with certain people,
mm-hmm,
especially in those baby Christian years.
Right.
Because God is doing something in you. He's changing you. He's renewing your heart, renewing how you see the world, how you see yourself.
Right.
But then there's a time when you go back to reconnect with folk for, mm-hmm, God, because now God has sent you that. And God brings people, God takes people in and out of your life.
Exactly.
And he wants you to get to a point where you can handle that. Mm-hmm. That you can handle people, folk coming back into your life, but then are you going to glorify him?
Right.
Or are you going to let them drag you down? Because that's a whole nother challenge too.
Correct.
You know, you could be going on and certain people come back in your life, and especially if it's out of past relationships,
mm-hmm,
that can pull you away from God, but are you going to pull them into God? Because they're looking for you. Because if they're looking for you and you claim Christ, now they're looking to see if you're still doing the things you used to do.
Right.
Because the hardest folk sometimes to minister to is the people who knew you previously.
Right.
But that's a whole other show.
It's a tug of war.
It's a tug of war
of sin and life.
Mm.
That sinful life you used to have,
yes,
or the life of Christ.
Amen.
So as you say, who are you going to pull them over?
Yes.
Or are they going to pull you back to where
you were
before? So, you know, and then if you think they're going to have to pull you back, then you have to make that choice in the road. Am I going to go back this way, which, mm-hmm, is the right way, or am I going to go back down the same path I came before?
Amen. Amen. And that's an opportunity. Well, we're going to talk about one more chapter here. 86 Days of Intimacy. Here we go, brother. And this one, this was a long chapter I'm going to share with the audience, because this was like 2.5 pages. I was like, oh, come on. But no. That's like 2.5 pages is like your longest chapter. But 86 Days of Intimacy. Share with us about that chapter.
And that's an interesting chapter, because I started off as, I know what you're thinking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you say your intimacy, everybody thinking, oh, wow. this is deep now. They looking for something raunchy. I keep it real.
This ain't no R-rated book.
They're looking for something raunchy.
Amen.
But 86 Days of Intimacy is talking about me and God, not worrying about what's going on around me.
Amen.
Because the storm is going to go on.
Mm-hmm.
But people got to realize there's always a calm in the eye of the storm.
Yes.
When you're in the eye of the storm, there's a calm and a peace. And so here I am locked up or detained, don't know what's going on around me, making phone calls left and right. But I had a Bible. And the funny way I got that Bible was one guy had a Bible, but he decided he's going to get in a fight.
Mm.
So long story short is they start trying to figure out who started the fight. I'm minding my business. I don't want to know nothing. I'll be honest. I know nothing. Like Sergeant Schultz, don't know nothing, see nothing.
That's right.
So I'm minding my business. And he basically got taken out, put somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Bible was left. I'm like, okay, I've been trying to get a Bible, couldn't get a Bible. I got a Bible. Need a pen? Got a pen. Got a tablet? Got a tablet. So I started reading, studying,
mm-hmm.
praying, getting closer, crying, reading those Psalms, reading. I read Job several times. I read James several times. You know, God started pointing things out in me where, telling me, I have a calling on your life, but I just need you to get it together.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say 86 days of intimacy, it was just getting closer and closer and closer to God. I know everybody's thinking, well, 86 days of intimacy, okay. No, it's just, we can be intimate with Christ. We can be intimate with God because he wants us close. He wants us to know, look, I'm dependent on you. I love you. I'm worshiping you, singing hymns in my cell, praising him, teaching, just reading. And the more I read, the closer I was getting. The more I read, the closer I was getting. The more I read, the closer I was getting. More I read, didn't know that all hell was breaking loose on the outside, but he was giving me peace to say, just hang on. I know what I'm doing. I got you.
Amen.
I know what I'm doing. I got you. But if you just hang on, sometimes we just want to give up. Mm. If it's not coming out the way we want, we ready just to throw it all down. look now. We ready just, but he was just telling me, you need to read. Reading brings understanding. You ain't read like you were supposed to because you were so caught up in the world.
Right.
You were caught up in the things of the world. Yeah, you went to church.
Mm.
Yeah, when you was young, you was an altar boy and, in a Catholic church and then, grew up in a Mennonite church. Yeah, you did all that. You knew more Bible scriptures and everything. I was in the Catholic school. I was reading the Word, studying the Word. Going against what they say, I'm trying to figure, okay, if we're Catholic, why do we keep worshiping Mary? But that's a whole nother story. Mm. Or, why are we doing
that? Why are you asking these questions? wait a minute, are you not paying attention? You got hit with the ruler a lot.
Yeah, you're right. But
I'm
like, why are we doing Hail Mary's full of grace? Why are we, what is this rosary thing?
Mm.
But I was always the one contradicting, not supposed to have these books of Apocrypha in the back of the Bible.
Right.
Like, where did they come from? He said, you're supposed to have only not take or add to the Word of God. Mm-hmm. So I'm always asking the crazy questions, but that shows that I was in an intellect. I'm studying. I'm like, okay, where the rest of it? If God says this, where does this come from? But for people or a person like myself who's been in the Word all his life, and then you get caught up because that pride comes. That arrogance comes. And, it ain't never going to happen to me.
Mm-hmm.
I learned. Never say never. That's even at your conference. Never say never. Because Satan slow walked me into, because I'm not thinking. I'm going, he slow walked me to that, to like a bull for the slaughter.
Amen.
Slow walked me.
That's right.
And then, boom. The ground was knocked from under me and I ended up somewhere I shouldn't have been.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe, but I shouldn't have been. But
you didn't have plans of being.
Exactly.
But God.
But God said, he doesn't make these things, but he allows it. Mm. He allowed it for my good so I can have those 85, my friends say 85 days and wake up.
Mm. I said 85 days and wake up.
It's your day to come on out. I couldn't do the whole 90 days, but he said it, 85 days and wake up. But I learned.
Amen.
You know, because, you know, we need to study to show ourselves approved. Now, I know what ministers go through when they're trying to, you know, get in that word and stay in that word so they can be able to feed the sheep. Because yes. I had a choice. I didn't have a choice. I was commissioned, literally,
Amen.
Commissioned to read so I can produce, pray, and have Bible study.
Amen. That's good. You know, that's right. And that's what when you said read and study, people don't, there's a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, I like to always use the example. You know, we go to school, we go get our degrees, our master's, our bachelor's. Because why? We put the work in.
Correct.
So we should just take that same diligence, that same tenacity,
mm-hmm.
and bring it to the Word of God. Because everybody, you don't have to be a pastor now. Now, if you're doing it to get a title, because we know we do it to get a bachelor's degree, we do it to get a master's.
Right.
But are we doing it so that we can improve our relationship with God? Because mm-hmm. we have to know, all His Word is how we're going to know Him.
Right.
His Word. That's why the Word is here. That's why the Word has been through the decades and the generations. His Word has been there. That's why it's in different languages and different translations for our understanding. God wants His Word to be in us.
Mm-hmm.
And are we doing that diligence to be able to minister? Again, our salvation is not about ourselves. Mm-hmm. Our opportunity is going to come. And are we rooted and grounded in His Word that we can feed those who come around us? Because I always say we always have a circle of influence that God's mm-hmm. going to put in us. And there's only certain people who's going to hear the gospel, and it's going to be from us.
Mm-hmm. And to piggyback off of that, you did say, you know, if we want to get closer, we mm-hmm. want to understanding, we do whatever we can in relationships to try to get closer to that.
Amen.
That him or that her.
Amen. That's right.
And, you know, that's what people want to do. You want to understand. You want to get closer, so I'm going to study that person. But in this incident, God wanted me to get closer
yes.
to him. So whatever happens after, mm-hmm. I'll be able to handle it, and I'll have a better understanding of situations that come across. Because when we go through our season, every level is a different devil. So don't think just because I made it through that,
Amen.
That nothing else was going to happen, because
That's right.
this prepared me for this step.
That's
this
right.
step prepares me for the next step. Because I heard someone say, again, every level is a different devil, so there's always going to be something there. Mm-hmm. To try, almost like when Job's wife said, just curse God and die.
Mm-hmm.
There's always going to be an influence
yes.
that's going to try to say, okay, well, who you think you are? You made it through that? No. Mm-hmm. Trust me. Did I want to go through it? No.
No.
I'm honest, but I made it through it.
Mm-hmm.
That was
incoming. Right, but don't think nothing else is coming.
Right.
Something else, because you could make it through. You could have a great victory. But then something little will kill you, because you thought you got off your post. You mm-hmm. wasn't aware. You wasn't a bit discerning, because you can come out of a great victory. You can come over a great something in your life and say, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God." But then a little thing will come and knock you back.
And you know what? And when you said that, the Lord just gave me this. He said, "Remember when Jesus was fasting for 4 days and 4 nights, and Satan came to him." People forget what it says. He left him mm-hmm. until another opportunity.
Yeah.
He ain't just leave him. He left him.
He left him until, right.
Another opportunity. You know, he would do, okay, you won this battle. Okay, you got this battle. Good. I got to go back and, you know, get some more arsenal
That's
and
right.
then come back at you. Because he never was going to leave Jesus alone.
That's right.
Until he thought he got the victory on Calvary.
That's right.
He thought he had the victory then. But he was never going to leave him alone. But at that moment, after, you know, give him all these temptations, he said, "All right, cool, you got it,
okay.
you know, but I'll be back."
That's right. And I'm going to use some of them people you're going to pick as your friends.
Exactly.
And, well, we read the story, read the book.
That's right.
And you'll see. Pick up the Bible, and you'll see that Jesus, his whole life, and even with Paul and Peter.
Exactly.
It was ongoing things. You have one victory, and the next thing's coming because, again, you know, God is going to use you, and he's going to put you in specific situations, but he's going to give you what you need. That's what the thing we need to understand.
Mm-hmm.
God is going to be, he's going to provide you whatever you need to deal with whatever's coming at you.
Amen.
But you have to remember, you have to stay connected to him. You have to be diligent. You have to stay and connect with God and let him go with you. Well, brother, I appreciate you coming.
Oh,
again, share the information. Our folks get the book and the Christmas present you're giving out.
Okay.
Let people know, share that information with them.
Again, I'm Hezekiah L. Montgomery. We have a new cover, which is right here. And the new cover and subtitle, Rediscovering Kai, A Journey of Hope, Fortitude, and Second Chances. It's available on Amazon Kindle ebook for $2.99 download. And as a Christmas gift, and I'm going to give it out to you, from me to you, you have the ebook will be available on December 24th from 6 a.m. Mm-hmm. to 6 p.m. as a free gift from me to you. So look it up. The old ebook will be taken down momentarily. It takes a time to phase that out as Amen. The new one is coming in. It's Rediscovering Kai, A Journey of Hope, Fortitude, and Second Chances. And again, the contact information, the email is HLMontgomery@HezekiahLMontgomery.com. And a new phone number is 888-501-8650, extension 780. And again, our website is www.HezekiahLMontgomery.com. And I've brother, actually had a great time with you.
Amen. Thank you, brother. I thank you for taking time out of your schedule to come hang with me, come sit here, talk about the book, and continue. We're going to bring you back. Again, oh, yeah, like you said, there's 44 chapters. So we can have an ongoing series here because we got to get through the 44 chapters. And just let people know what's going on. We encourage you to get the book. Reach out. Deacon Thomas Farr, this has been Issues Christian Men's Talk. You can contact me at Issues Christian Men's Talk on Facebook. You can go there. You can get the link, send us a message. The information will be there. This show, you can get the link to see this show online. We have a broadcast to be downloaded there, but you can contact me there. Also, you can contact me. We have a radio broadcast, internet radio broadcast. You can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr, and you can listen to our show there. We broadcast on Monday nights at 8 p.m. and on Thursday nights at 8:30 p.m. But you can find all this information as you watch the end of the show for the credits, and also at Issues Christian Men's Talk on Facebook.